Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted Podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and it's the best day ever! Here was my middle name, and tomorrow is a bikini bottom day. Just to remind everybody, I'm not a loser, just a simple sponge, but I guess I missed you. Poor pirates. There's no control when the going gets tough, so we're going to chop, 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 chop to the top. And yes, nautical nonsense is something we wish. Joining us today are the usual BFFs who drop on the deck and flub like a fish, including Kevin, Super C-Star Savior Jaeger.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I thought it sounded
fancy.
Nice. I practiced it out loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that does sound lovely.
Sally sells seashells and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sandy sells seashells.
Wasn't it Sally?
Well, that is, but Sandy's the squirrel.
Oh, right. That's better. Sorry.
Kimberly, our game master, an unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
Hello. And with us today is an Elphaba from Wicked, a Martha from Spring Awakening, a Susan from Tick, Tick, Boom, a Lily from The Wildness, and a Sandy the Texas Squirrel from the SpongeBob musical.
Yes.
Yay. Hello.
She's currently in WP Theater in Ars Nova's Sundown Yellow Moon. Let's give a big broad-waisted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Lily Cooper.
Hello. Super excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You can follow Lily on social media at Lily Cooper on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram as Lil Coops with a Z.
Ooh.
Really cool.
I'm Kimber Coops with an S.
Well, there you go.
What are we drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
That was okay.
That was all right.
That was nice.
I like that.
Actually, minor?
That nice. Yeah, it was a little minor.
You came in and kind of saved the chord there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kevin and I try and disrupt as much as possible.
And then you brought us harmoniously back.
Yes.
So what are we drinking? Kimberly, what did you pour us?
I believe it's called mezcal.
Yes.
Cal.
Are we all drinking that?
Yes.
Except me.
Oh, what are you drinking?
I have gin.
Oh, of course.
So, as per usual.
I have tequila, mezcal. What do you have? You have tequila?
I do too, yeah.
Anything in it?
I put a little seltzer in it.
Nice.
Yeah, seltzer and lime.
Beautiful.
I have seltzer and lime with my
gin. You have lime?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us.
To clear liquor.
To clear liquor.
I hear it has less calories.
Totes does.
It's true.
It does. I'm only drinking clear liquor now.
That's a great
because
diet.
Because I'm getting skinny for Jay and Kimmy. They're ready.
Yeah. Gotta look cute for the webs.
I guess I'm getting skinny for that, too.
It's true. So let's just get right into it. What have you seen this week
or
recently?
What have you seen this week?
I tried there, but
you're not. She death canted all over that. That was nice.
So what have you seen this week? Yeah.
I know Kevin's seen some stuff.
I have.
Oh, you had a weekend.
I did. I had a fun weekend. I got to see Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard this weekend.
Oh, clutch my pearls.
It was really a transformative performance. Like
I thought you were going to say it was a really tranny performance.
I mean, some of her costumes, I know some trannies who would be all over that. Like, she was all out. But really, like, 100% that show is Glenn Close. And that's not to say that the other performers are incredible. Like, right. I actually thought the ensemble was particularly great at moving the story along. Mm-hmm. Because Sunset Boulevard, I feel there's some moments that are a little dated when it comes to, like, some of the book things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the show moves along so quickly because the ensemble and how, like, the energy and everything. But, like, the show is Glenn Close. And I think, like, her performance just really brought this honesty that would be so, that's so hard for a lot of people to win that part because it's so over the top. Like, it's very easy to start chewing the scenery when you're playing that part, but she just kept this reality to it that was just so, like, grounded and yet still, like, on top of it. The two big numbers in the show are With One Look and As If We Never Said Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And with,
I think those are the only songs I know.
With One Look, she is,
I couldn't
With
say
One Look is like her act one number. And I was prepared to sit there and be like, okay, so she did this and won a Tony in, like, the 90s. Now she's doing it again, so let's hear her kind of, like, do a great acting interpretation.
Right.
But she opened her mouth and was like full on singing. And
yeah,
then
I saw a clip, and I was
she belted
impressed.
Out the end, and the entire the entire theater erupted in applause. It was all, like half standing ovation as soon as that song happened, and I was part of the people standing.
Now, see, I always have this interest. I have like an interest. Like, I always ask the question now if it was a if that was a musical theater actress who like nobody knew that well, would it would people have erupted into uproarious applause.
You know, I don't think so.
Or is it because, like, is it impressive because it's Glenn Close? Not to say she's
right.
not.
When I was sitting in the theater, I got to see it with my parents. Hi, Mom and Dad. They came to see to New York to visit and got to see the show. And one of the things we actually talked about was, like, that room was, like, buzzing with energy to see Glenn Close.
Sure, sure, sure.
Okay. Like, so I think it was one of those things. And I think everyone in the theater kind of thought what I did, that we were about to see this incredible star revisit a role and live in it, but in this, like, older body, but we all kind of thought we were about to see a little bit of a faded light. And I think I was really incredibly moved at how she took probably what she's learned in the past 15 years as a performer, and I'm sure she probably relates to it even more now as she gets older. But singing is on point. Like, she is right up to everyone. All of them are fantastic, but her voice especially was just really remarkable the way that it still has
That's
like a
awesome.
Timbre and a vibe to it. So it's, I would definitely recommend seeing it if you have a chance just to be in that room. It felt like I was a part of theater history getting to see the show again.
That's
so
cool.
It's a very limited run,
it
right?
Yeah.
Unless Donna Murphy is there.
Also, just
wait, she's a standby, right?
For
Hello Dolly.
Oh, Hello Dolly. Yeah, yeah.
We're just assuming that she's around if anybody needs
Donna Murphy is the Donna Murphy is Broadway standby.
Times Square.
She's hanging out in Schubert Alley waiting for a text from any of the theater.
You've decided you're going to be ready to play anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God, Grisabella.
Yeah, exactly.
Glinda.
Madame Morrible. If I saw on Twitter tonight news, Donna Murphy going on for Grisabella, I would go buy a ticket in a second.
Absolutely.
Like,
oh, yeah.
And that would also be fun, kind of like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where on Broadway?
Oh, it's like, where's Waldo? A big Twitter, where's Waldo game?
You're just trying to figure out where Donna Murphy is.
First person to get the playbill insert on Twitter wins.
Yeah. She's gonna like start screwing with people and show up as like the little kid in School of Rock.
Yeah. Oh my god, this is amazing.
I'm in. I can't wait to see Donna Murphy as Willy Wonka.
As Aladdin, the engineer.
Oh yeah, I'm in.
We should be Donna Murphy's agents and just start pitching this to everyone.
This
time.
Is great.
You know who you need? Yes. Donna Murphy, see?
She knows every part. She can just go on. Or even not.
Yeah, definitely go
with
see.
With a book in hand. She's fine.
Yeah.
In conclusion, go see Sunset Boulevard and anything Donna Murphy does.
And then you guys have something together, right?
We did. Kevin and I saw the cabaret by Ben Rimmelauer of Patty Issues. So we saw it at the Duplex. It is a one-man show. It's about an hour. And he essentially goes through his obsession with Patti LuPone and how it kind of sprung from his very unique and childhood, like growing up, you know, parents divorced, and just how that kind of Patti LuPone kind of saved him from terribleness that was surrounding him at the time. Mm-hmm. And then him, you know, getting his first job in the theater world and assistant directing with Lonnie Price.
Whoa.
For the Sweeney Todd.
Philharmonic
Sweeney Todd with Patti LuPone. So, and like all of that and kind of how that affected him and the kind of how that relationship, you know, moved him towards what he's doing now. And it is, it's, first of all, there are some great one-liners in there.
Oh, yeah.
Just from a comedy standpoint. But like, he really brings it home and it's very effective.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really great story because like Brian said, that like the uniqueness and the originality of like his personal journey that he was going through that was like so unlike like many stories I've ever heard of somebody like what they grew up with. And to see how Broadway, and I mean specifically for him, Patti LuPone meant something. But it was cool to watch the show and you could kind of see how like theater and like these larger than life personalities have affected like kids growing up in like such a positive way and more than just like they love the albums, but like transforming where they're at. Like he talked about like one really potent moment for me was when there was like a bunch of craziness happening. And he just heard all this screaming and yelling and he put his headphones on and sat in the dark and listened to Evita over and over again. Mm-hmm. And he like took her strength from like in these moments where she is outcasted and people are like saying, you can't do it. You can't be anything. And like like she's saying, stand back, Argentina, you're going to get a little dose of me and my star quality. And he like kind of became Evita in his own life.
Wow.
And like used that in that transformative way. And I thought that was a really cool way to like show how Broadway can affect people.
Yeah.
And I had a ton of fun watching Kevin watch this.
Well, because, I mean, the thing was, it was at the Duplex, so obviously a story that is like, going to have a lot of like fun backstage kind of things about Patti LuPone. It's going to appeal to the gays. Sure. So, like, I was, like, kind of, like, we were all kind of, like, waiting with bated breath as he's, like, getting closer to meeting her. Uh-huh. And then, like, when she... Like,
he built that up really well.
He did really well. When she walks in the door and then he starts, like, bringing out these stories of stuff and telling some of, like... He actually goes through some rumors that we've all heard and been like, is that true? Is it true? Is it true? And, like, gives the, like, this is what Patti told me is actually happened. And I'm not going to tell you all because you should see it. It's coming back in March.
Yep.
So you should definitely go and check it out. It was not expensive and you get to drink while you're watching
it. Upstairs at the Duplex?
Yeah, it's upstairs in a little cabaret thing. And it's just, it was, like, a very friendly environment. He jokes around the audience. And, like, you just feel like a friend of yours is telling you the most crazy story about his life.
Did he do any impressions of her?
He, like, does his interpretation of it, which is great.
And my favorite part is, like, when he would, like, tell, like, voicemails she left him, and he would, like, talk as her, like, leaving voicemails. And you're hearing it, and you're like, that's Patti LuPone. Like things like that. So he wasn't, like, doing, like, a mimicking thing, but it was just, like, the words he would say and the things that she would do, you're like, that's incredible. She is what I thought.
Wow.
But it was also interesting because from my point of view, my mom loves Patti LuPone. And my mom would always be playing either the Les Mis or the Anything Goes album. Mm-hmm. And like, so those roles are always associated with Patti LuPone to me because that's who that's the album my mom would be playing like when we were kids. So my sister and I were playing like in the background, we'd hear the Fantine, or we'd hear the Reno Sweeney as that. Yeah. And it was just like, in Jersey.
Yep.
So, you know, I have a very different connection to Patti LuPone than Kevin does. Ben's experience with Patti, you know, definitely connected with me in a totally different way. Uh-huh. It may have been more direct to Kevin, but I think Patti LuPone is this, like, mythical creature that, like, you know, he both put her on a pedestal as well as painted her as like a real individual,
human being.
Yeah, yeah. So that was appreciated.
Yeah,
it's a good time. Definitely check it out. Yeah. It's coming out again in March. You can find out about tickets and stuff by going to benrimmelauer.com.
Hey. Oh my God! Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
No, I just remembered something that I saw.
Yes.
We can. Should we?
On three, I'm going to say what I saw too. Okay. Let's see if it's the same thing.
One, two, three. Significant other. Okay.
Oh, very different.
Oh my God. I want to hear about Significant Other, too.
Yeah. Go first.
Well, I saw the invited dress of Significant Other. Gideon Glick is one of my very close friends. Mm-hmm. And it was breathtaking and hilarious and, like, so intensely heartbreaking that I had to, like, sit in the audience and cry it out for, like, 10 minutes before I could get up and leave.
Wow.
It was, like, that intense.
Is this the one about the
Significant Others?
The three girls and the best friend.
Yeah, yeah. Gideon plays this guy with three best friends of his, and they all get married within like a few years of each other. And it's sort of his relationship with them and his relationship with dating. And it's just so beautifully written. And all of the performers are amazing. And the set is gorgeous. And it's really great. So I just like strongly recommend it. Yeah, it's awesome. Good.
That is on my list.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, the more I just want to like burst into tears.
Dose of reality, right? That's what a friend of mine texted me right after she saw it.
Cheers to doses of reality.
She was like, it's definitely a dose of reality.
There were several moments where I was like, oh my God, I'm that person. Oh my God, I'm that person. Oh,
that's my friend said because she went to like, theater school and like you get those little groups, like the three girls and the gay guy and see how things change as life goes on.
Ugh, awesome. Should I see this before or after my wedding?
After.
Okay. Jeff's after.
After when you're no longer speaking to me because I'm the gay friend. Brian, so tell us about Big River.
Yeah, so I saw Big River at Encore City Center. I had never seen Big River before. I knew the big songs from it.
Yeah. Muddy Water.
I just associate Big River with American Sign Language because that's the only production that I can think of.
Yeah, it won Best Musical in the 80s.
The year it came out? Like
Big River.
Wow.
Yes.
Good for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it was a very weak year if you actually look at like what else was nominated. I don't even remember what else was nominated. Not to say that Big River
is... Can I refill my drink while we're still talking?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, sorry.
That's not... And that's not to say that Big River isn't great.
Correct.
It's a forgotten year in general, I think. Mm-hmm. I may be generalizing it, but anyway. And then people remember the actual... The Deaf West production they did mm-hmm. 10 years ago, however long ago it was. I think so. Well,
Deaf West is nailing it.
Amazing. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, long story short, saw it. The cast was fantastic.
Mm. The cute redhead from She Loves Me.
Yeah. Nick Barish.
Oh, who played Huck? Huck.
And then Harpo from Color Purple.
Oh, Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All Dreamboat.
What a man. Hey, Kyle.
He was Jim.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm like,
what's the name? Lauren Worsham.
Yes, I was going to say Sky Pony was in it.
Sky Pony was in
Lauren
it.
Worsham. True. Lauren Worsham and I did an Ars Nova show together last year when she was 6 months pregnant.
We saw it.
We'll get into the wild.
We were obsessed.
It's their favorite thing of all time.
I was there opening night and I like died.
Awesome. Long story short, you can't see it now, so I would say go see it. But
it was an encore.
It was an encore.
And now it's over.
Now it's over. They did not do an encore.
Of the encore.
But I'd never seen it before. I was so happy I saw it with that caliber of a cast.
Right.
It was a really great production. I feel like I got what it was, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
That's awesome.
You know,
I have a question.
Sure.
Did you guys have to read Huck Finn in high school?
No.
I've never read it. I have no idea what it's about.
We did not have to read it.
So you were just talking about that. I was like, oh, is his name Huck Finn? And then you said Jim. I was like, oh.
Wait. So Huck Finn is the little boy?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw the movie with Elijah Wood.
Yes, of course.
And so that's where I'm basing all of my.
You mean
Elijah
North? Wood.
No, I'm kidding.
My only reference for this is the Tom and Huck movie with JTT.
Yes. That's what I always think of.
With Becky and the painting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
can we talk more about the wildness now?
Yes.
Let's talk about
Go for it.
Okay. So,
Kevin's got nothing.
No, I have lots of different questions. I'm trying to decide where to go with it. So one of the things that was so powerful about the wildness that Kimberly and I always talk about is that as an audience, you weren't really sure halfway through if you were acting
mm-hmm.
or if we were watching a group of friends actually go through it.
And did you see it twice?
Yes.
Okay, did I.
So and then the second time I picked, if you watched the performance, it's so raw and so real.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like through a rehearsal process? Was there was the script fully set in stone, or were you given leeway so that you could make it feel as real as it did?
I think that was a vision of theirs, is to make it as real as possible. And I'm referring to Sky Pony, Kyle Jarrow, and Lauren Worsham, who wrote the book and the story and all the music. The overarching concept of it was this blurring the lines between a concert and a story and a play and this live performance where the audience and the performers blend together and you don't really know what is real and what isn't. And so there were moments in the show where we would grab audience members and they would have overshares and they would mm-hmm. literally tell us very intimate realities of their lives, and the actors would also. So our overshares as the actors were pretty specific to our lives, I think, but they were scripted. So they changed throughout the rehearsal process, but one difference was that, so everybody in the show was a part of Sky Pony except for my character, and my name was Lily in the show, and there was this missing person, and that person was my brother. And so that was really the only aspect, which was the biggest sort of story plot, that wasn't real per se, was that my brother was supposed to be the lead singer of Sky Pony, or of this one night only kind of concert, and that he went missing. And so my overshare was about that. So that was fully scripted and completely made up. Mm-hmm. But what I think was the coolest part about it was that song in the end that is sung by my brother was literally sung by my brother, Eddie Cooper. So it was super meta and surreal because I was talking about my fictional brother, but at the end of the show, I would listen to this song recorded by my actual brother every day.
Yeah.
So it was really deep. It was really intense. And I mean, I remember reading it for the first time. I did a reading of it the summer before it happened. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like, it was confusing. It was very confusing as a reading. I wasn't sure what was even happening.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Yeah. So, like, it wasn't really until we developed it into this show that it came to life and it made sense to anybody, really.
It was so true. Like, I immediately after I left went online and bought a ticket for another performance because I had to see it again.
I love like, those kinds of shows where you're like, wait, does this happen every night?
Yeah, because like, you like buy into...
But you had hinted on the overshares where like you would reach out to the audience and ask them like to share something that's like really going on in their life or something they're going through and they would speak. And what I loved about that, seeing the show twice, was like that was obviously moments that were completely unscripted because you had audience people just sharing stuff. And I heard some really intense,
stuff. We saw total strangers.
And it was because the show was so immersive. And so, like, you felt in this safe space with these friends that these people just opened and shared, like, really deep stuff. And that was when it was so fun to watch all of you as actors.
Right.
Because it wasn't really acting then. You were empathizing and like, being real. So it was like... It kept blurring the lines between what was real and what was scripted.
Yeah, and we were hearing these brand new stories every night, so we were just reacting to these new stories that were so intimate and incredibly vulnerable.
It was like seeing a play and being in a prayer circle at the same time.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like a very like cathartic, therapeutic.
So go see the wild. Oh wait.
Oh wait a minute.
But you listened to Sky Pony on Spotify.
Yes.
Like I did for. Nothing else that I listened to for like 3 months after.
So if you ever see Sky Pony anywhere at Mercury Lounge or Rockwood or wherever they play, like go see them. They're incredible. Definitely go see Sky Pony.
Because you also worked with Kyle on something else recently.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, go for it.
Which I got the chance to see while I was in Chicago. That was so much fun.
Can we all sing the theme song together?
Wait, are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain.
I can't hear you.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Who
lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob SquarePants.
Small, absorbent, and yellow is he.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
His nautical nonsense be something you wish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
So flop on the deck and flop like a fish.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
I'm so happy.
The little kids that live next door to me are probably like, what's happening?
So, Kevin, you saw it.
I did.
Go for it. I am so excited to see it.
Okay.
At some point.
I've heard such fun.
What was it like getting the opportunity to sing so many different people's music with so many different styles?
So, if you don't know, the SpongeBob score is written by a multitude of people. Yeah. So, the concept is similar. So, that's the constant in it. However, each song is written by someone different. Aerosmith wrote a song. Sarah Bareilles wrote a song. Plain White Tees.
Yeah. John Legend. Flaming Lips. Like,
Panic at the Disco?
Panic at the Disco.
They lend themselves
so many. Each song was written by a different artist.
So what was it like to kind of...
Yeah, just gets like sampled, like all these different kind of styles and...
Really cool.
Was it tricky to blend it or did it all
No,
work?
Because Tom Kitt is an actual brilliant genius man.
Yep.
Who can make anything work. And he's brilliant.
Kevin, like, gets so giggly every time I'm talking about it.
That was my top favorite thing I saw in 2016. Yeah. I was floored by that show.
It was so fun.
My brother and I were just so excited to see it. And then it was just... Exactly. It was just, you're giggling on the subway on the way home.
And the thing is, it's like deeper than one might imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ever watched the SpongeBob cartoon, like you know that it's like it's sort of really actually made for adults.
Absolutely.
Because it's dark and it's funny and it's, you know, it's like, can be like sexual and scary. And I think this musical has all of those elements. I mean, you know, there are subjects of like global warming and police brutality and all of these sort of underlying themes that on the surface this show can be for kids, but when adults come and see it, they're like, oh damn.
Yeah.
There are some like deeper
I want to see it so bad.
Levels to this story.
So much.
Also, one of the things that like, I mean, some of the pictures have come out about like the incredible part that the set plays in the show in a lot of different ways, but there's still a lot that people haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
what was staging like and rehearsal process like when you weren't actually in a room with like all these ridiculous contraptions
that
make up the set?
Well, we rehearsed at New 42 and they actually had this incredible, they set up all these levels for us and actual platforms and stuff. We didn't get the scale of what the theater was in that rehearsal studio, but we got the idea of where things were and it was all taped out and stuff. David Zinn was our costume designer and set designer, which is just mind blowing. He's brilliant. Yes. And yeah, there are all these found elements. So the concept was that all of these found objects fell to the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. So we have flip flops and pool noodles and like a pineapple, that fell to the bottom of the ocean. And we used all of these found objects. Yeah, there were a lot of elements that we didn't have in the rehearsal process.
It was like the entire audience, children, adults, older people, turned into little kids again. And we all were like, like, and it was just like, as you're like, you just felt like the whole place.
I'm like
moving.
Listening was, with bit. I like it.
I know. I can't wait to watch Brian watch this show.
Oh, man.
It was incredible. And that was a cool thing to see, a show that you watch families come out and little kids are giggling and laughing about stuff that they could recognize from the show. Mm-hmm. But you also watch like me and my brother, who are 30-year-old people, walk out of that show and be like, that was actually a really incredibly crafted musical, and mm-hmm. it was funny as hell, mm-hmm. and they do enough nods to adults that go over kids' heads that you're like, that you can like really laugh at some like kind of dirty stuff.
Right, yeah, I know.
Like you said in the show, there's stuff in there that you're like, a little kid wouldn't get that, but like the adult in the room is like,
it's like, oh.
Amazing. I can't wait.
It's really, really good.
Excited.
And shout out to, was it Ethan Slater?
Ethan Slater. Don't even get me started.
Incredible.
Ethan and
Instead
I went to college
like,
together.
Did you really?
Yes. He's so good. He's brilliant. He's brilliant. He basically was born to play SpongeBob. He's just
he
like
is
another.
So good.
He's another ginger front center, and he's the best. He's
and
just
you
so
end
cool.
up like there's a part in Act Two where like I literally am sitting there like crying and like wiping my eyes and I'm like. My brother looks at me and he's like, you're crying in a SpongeBob song. And I'm like, I know, but like, he's so real.
Oh, I cried almost every
just,
night.
Like,
and Kevin doesn't cry in musicals.
I don't. I don't.
Wait, don't
but I,
you don't?
I don't. I don't cry at movies or musicals very often. And when I do, it's like
And
deep,
I cry
and
from
like,
the first note of the overture until the end. Like,
just
awesome I'm sorry to have taken over. I took over most of the interview portion, but for some reason I like followed your career in 2016 without noticing it.
Because he also saw Tick, Tick, Boom.
I did. I saw Tick, Tick, Boom as well, but I actually
With
saw,
me or?
No, I saw Sierra.
Yeah. Oh,
it was like
right.
a week, but it was like, and then, and I also saw who he played Plankton and was in Tick, Tick, Boom. So I've been following him as well this whole year. I didn't realize that. Was
another incredible person that you need to listen to his music, Nick Blamire. He is amazing. He has a new EP out. It's called the Ampersand EP.
Yeah,
it's really good. So download it now.
I think Kevin's a stalker.
I'm sorry. I follow your stuff. I happen to
that's
see all
fine.
Your
I'll just talk about how many times I saw Spring Awakening when I was 19.
Oh, that's true.
Then we're good.
Wow, that was a really long time ago. It's weird to think how long ago that was.
On the total,
almost 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. December. We opened December 2006.
Right?
You were in that show? No, I'm just totally kidding.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah. What are we doing? We'll play a game. That's what we're doing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yay, game time!
Yay.
I love games.
Okay, this first game is a twist on a favorite.
A twist on a favorite?
Dirtier Hands on a Hard Body.
Oh.
Because I wanted to figure out a way that I could play too.
Okay.
Okay.
So this.
I'll explain it first. Yeah. So if you put two hands on the table,
okay,
the table is the hard body,
right?
And we're gonna go around.
You just put hands on me.
Oh. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we're gonna give a category. And then three people at a time. So someone will give a category. It is usually just me. And then the three of you will rapid fire name things in that category.
Okay.
If you flub, take too long to answer, or repeat something, one hand goes in the air.
Ooh.
That's your dirty hand. Once you have two hands, you are out.
You're out.
And it goes till we have one lone victor.
Okay.
This way that we're playing is I'm going to start and give a category. And then you three will play. Whoever gets a dirty hand will pick the next category. And the three people who did not.
Ooh, love it, love it.
Great.
Because I want to play.
And it goes in order. Like, are we all, rapid fire, as quick as
possible. Yeah, so it'll go like Brian, Lily, Kevin, me if I'm playing, et cetera.
Great, cool.
The first category. I don't know, I already have my hand up, I'm not playing this one yet.
I'm really nervous, my heart's beating really fast. Maybe that's from the tequila. Oh,
Okay. The first one is childhood cartoons.
Oh, God.
Rugrats.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Cat Dog.
He-Man.
Angry Beavers.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
She-Ra.
Ren and Stimpy.
It was a cartoon.
I think it was a cartoon.
It was. She-Ra.
Ren and Stimpy.
I think I
was
I was ready with Jem.
I was ready with Doug.
Jem.
Do you remember Jem the rocker chick? Am I older than everyone?
Jem and the Hologram.
Yeah.
The Punky Brewster animated version.
What?
Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright.
Yep. Okay, yep. I know both of them. All right,
My category.
Category.
Ooh. Female singer-songwriters.
Sarah Bareilles.
I was going to say Alanis Morissette.
Two.
Melissa Etheridge.
Okay.
Bonnie Raitt.
Ooh. Oh, throwback. Love her.
Patsy Cline.
Carole King.
Uh-huh.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yep.
Raina James. She's fictional.
I didn't differentiate.
That's true.
That opens up a whole new world.
I guess it does.
I'm still going to go with Shania Twain.
Wow.
Carly Simon.
Ooh. I love Carly Simon.
Amy Grant.
I get really excited.
Okay, all right.
Amy Grant.
That's
Alicia
true. Keys.
Yes. She babysat me, by the way.
What?
Hey, Alicia. Love you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Just like a random tidbit.
Oh my God, that's incredible. My brain is flashed. I'm going to put a hand up because now I'm just thinking about YouTube like singing together when you were a child and she's like riffing it and you're riffing back.
Like a baby. Just imagine like Alicia Keys like singing me to sleep and like in my dreams I'm like, I want to sing like her. And here I am.
Oh, I can't wait till you start.
Most of her lyrics from you as a kid just like mumbling.
Probably. And then when you star in the Alicia Keys story, it's going to be like full circle for you.
Exactly. The biopic on Lifetime.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
I hope it's just as good as the Britney one.
Do you watch it?
Yes.
I need to.
Yes.
You watch the Britney one?
Yes. There's two things that are...
Wait, who played her?
Some rando.
Cheers to the rando.
Justin and Britney have a dance-off. And it's in a bar.
Who plays Justin?
Some rando.
It's Lifetime.
The same person.
But it... No, just watch it. Also, they don't want product placement, so they just taped duct tape over the backs of, like, the car logos.
Oh, come
it's
on.
It's wonderful.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
They lost their budget for Photoshop. All right, Kevin.
Okay, so category is musicals about teenagers.
Wow.
Spring Awakening.
Dear Evan Hansen.
Rent. I should have lost already, but Rent.
Oh, it's back to me?
Yeah.
Runaways.
Is there life after high school?
Next to Normal.
Good one.
And I'm done.
I was going to say 13.
Oh! None of us. None of us.
The original teenagers. 13. Okay.
So I have one hand up.
Yeah, I have one hand up.
I have no hands up.
Oh.
All right, let's get Brian.
Just pick a category. This is actually good because you can actually like...
Christian things.
I probably do pretty well.
Jesus.
Wafers. but this is, I like this game because now like you can actually plan to try and get somebody out if it rotates.
That's true.
You can be evil is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the category I thought of today? Oh, plays that were turned into musicals.
Oh, that's hard. Play, wait, sorry.
The play,
pause.
The title of the play.
A title of a play
that has been turned into a musical.
That has been turned into a musical, not a movie
like
or a book.
Pygmalion.
Oh, you okay?
Wow.
I had one.
Can I say Spring Awakening?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely.
That's why I chose that category.
Can I say Pygmalion?
Yeah.
The Taming of the Shrew?
Ooh, oh, good one. Romeo and Juliet?
Hamlet.
Yeah, Lion King.
Yep.
Good. Whoa. Pulling that one out.
No, it's true. It's true.
That was
true.
Solid.
We are lenient in this game.
I know. This one's hard.
Three.
I got nothing.
Wow. I was looking for a Green Grove of Lilacs, which became Oklahoma.
And then Carousel.
And a Lilium, which became Carousel.
Wow. And also
The Shop Around the Corner, which became
Golden
She
Boy.
Loves Me. Which no became... one would have known Golden Boy.
Well, that's what I was going to say next.
Okay, so now I get to come with a category.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make y'all
Are you done?
Pay. Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
The category is boy bands.
Ooh, that's good.
NSYNC.
Backstreet Boys.
98 Degrees.
New Kids on the Block.
O-Town.
One Direction.
Menudo.
There you go.
Oh, you get, like, can I say Il Divo?
Sure.
Is it a thing?
No,
it's
no.
A man band.
Yeah, no.
That's
I'm going to go with, oh my gosh. I was thinking.
Brian, put your hand up.
Okay, I'll put my hand up.
Okay.
Yeah, you had both hands. Like, come on.
Together?
No, it's the
No,
three
I
of
wasn't
us.
Thinking together.
Together!
We're together.
Of...
Algebra, trigonometry will never equal up to what you mean to me.
Oh, my.
Oh, that was so good. Together. Oh.
Wait, was that the joke one that was on MTV?
Yes.
I loved
With
that
PT.
One. You plus me equals us. Or something, right?
Calculus.
Calculus, yeah.
You plus sign. Me equals I. Us.
Did everybody, anybody hear the album?
And then what was the other song they had? The hardest part of breaking up is getting back your stuff.
Did everybody see Pop Star Never Stop, that. Never Stopping?
Yes.
It was so
it was
good.
Really good.
Really?
Like, really?
Yeah, right.
No.
Really
funny.
It's awesome.
I love Andy Samberg. Okay, I need to say it. Okay, you need
so
to do the category.
My category is.
Oh, God.
Cooper's.
Uh oh.
Face
Coopers. Here we go.
Yeah, there's a Cooper show.
Yeah.
Famous Coopers.
Hello. Musicals.
Yes.
Written by bands.
Aww.
It doesn't have to be a band, but it could be like...
Yeah.
It
could be a jukebox.
Like,
yeah. But it doesn't have to be a jukebox. For,
like The Wildness would count.
The Wildness would count.
Okay.
All Shook Up.
Mamma Mia.
Million Dollar Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen one. We Will Rock You.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Chess.
Oh.
Kevin's cheating, right?
Thanks for helping me cheat. Thanks for helping me cheat, Kevin.
I turned it into charades.
But the fact that I could figure out
that
what
was
that
impressive.
Was, that's pretty...
That was
I deserve points
Planting
for that.
Planting seeds.
I know. It's like...
Passing Strange.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
yeah,
and I salute you for that.
Thank you.
Good choice.
Now,
Like, now my turn.
We're individuals that come from the pop world. That's okay, too.
Spring Awakening.
Boom. Oh, by the door.
Waitress.
That's the one
I'm barely breathing.
Snap.
I can't
American Psycho.
I'm out. I have two hands up.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, new category for you and Lily, then.
All right.
You both have one hand up?
Yeah.
For the win. TV dramas.
Good.
Oh, great. You want to start? Who starts?
No.
Brian.
You start, Brian.
ER.
Scandal.
Parenthood.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Friday Night Lights.
Grey's Anatomy.
Mad Men.
That TV show that's sad. No, This Is Us.
Yeah.
I knew that's what you meant.
Breaking Bad.
Better Call Saul.
Sopranos.
Graceland.
Oz.
I don't know.
I could have gone all night.
I watched so much television.
You handed that one to me.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a fun back and forth.
That was a good one. I want to watch all of those shows.
My next one was 6 Feet Under. I was going through the HBO shows.
See, yeah.
I went through AMC. I was going to HBO, and I was going to move to
That's what I
should
have done.
I also liked all the little singing you would do before you knew what to think. Like when you're like,
What is the first Broadway show you ever saw?
Ooh, good question.
You grew up around
I was
here,
actually
right?
thinking about that. Yeah, I grew up in Midtown in mm-hmm. Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
And my dad's an actor, so he was on Broadway when I was like 5. And I think that his show was the first Broadway show that I saw.
Oh, cool.
And it's funny that I can't actually remember what my first Broadway show was because I happened to see a bunch of Broadway shows when I was a kid. So it wasn't like a standout experience of like, my first Broadway show was The Lion King or Wicked or something like that.
Yeah.
He was in a play called Getting Away with Murder, which was written by Stephen Sondheim. A play by Sondheim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wild, right? And I saw that, and I think it was in 95-ish. So I think that was my first Broadway show. I could be wrong, but I think so.
If you were being sent to a desert island.
Yes.
And you could only see one musical done perfectly. You don't know who's going to be in it. It doesn't matter who's in it. But you get to see one musical done absolutely the most perfect like version of that show. And then you're sent away forever. What would you see?
Okay. That is such a good question. Live?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
All right. See, I would say it should be something that I haven't ever seen, but I would also want it to be something maybe that I have seen, but I would want to see again. Like, okay, so I would say Into the Woods, because I was never able to see the original Into the Woods live. Mm. I, of course, have watched it on Netflix and PBS thousand million times.
As we all did in eighth grade.
Right. But I would love to see a live production of that, like, perfectly done. Oh, Ragtime.
Ragtime. Yeah. That is... Most people ask, Ragtime's the one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually a very popular answer to that question.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I think it's just Ragtime. Everything.
What was yours?
Everything.
Because also it's like it's a pretty flawless musical, I think.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen a production of it, so I would love to see it.
I said Caroline or Change because it runs the gamut of all the feels.
Oh, right.
Ooh, yeah. That's
so incredible.
And I said Merrily because so there hasn't crafted. Been a
perfect
one yet.
Ooh, interesting.
I said Mela Mancha.
Oh, yeah, because you just love it.
Oh, and The Jim Wild Party. The Wild Party, Lipa's version.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Only because I don't know Lacusa's version.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So you'd rather see the one you know done perfectly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Talk a little bit about your experience with Wicked.
Wicked.
How long were you?
Wicked was a journey. Wicked was a long journey. I was on tour for a year as the understudy for Elphaba. And I only went on as Elphaba twice.
In the whole year?
In the whole year.
Wow.
So it was rough. It was a challenge. Like, you know, I felt like I wasn't really doing the job that I was hired to do. But that's sort of the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. I was the second cover, so it made sense that I didn't go on at all. But I got to go on in two different cities, and my mom and my brothers came to see me. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And then after that, I got asked to come to Broadway as the standby. So my whole experience, I think, was about 2.5 years of Wicked.
Did you go on at the Gershwin?
Yeah, I went on a lot at the Gershwin.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a 10-show stint over 8 days.
Ah.
I was on a lot. And I did 10 shows in a row in it. That was crazy. It was a huge learning curve. Like, yeah. I remember when I first learned it, I would do one show and I would lose my voice entirely. And then I was able to do 10 shows in a row. So
You're an athlete. You have to build those muscles.
I completely compare it to running a marathon. Like, you can't just wake up one day and choose to do that.
Wait, I can't?
No, you can't.
You don't just wake up and be Elphaba? That's not how it works.
Wait, just a show minute. Stage door. Hi, is it my turn? Can I do it now?
Yeah.
Defying vocal fry.
But that's sort of what being a standby was. Except for one night when I went on in the middle of the show.
What's that like?
It was...
And at what point in the show?
It was less scary and more the coolest thing I've ever done in my life because I felt like a fucking superhero.
Yeah.
Like, it was so awesome. Yeah. It was really cool. And I was, like, 4 inches taller than the girl who was playing it. So, like, the first five rows were like, who's that green girl?
Oh, they didn't make an announcement? Her.
They did, but I went on in the middle of act one. So it was like a tag team. It was incredible.
Do they announce in the middle of the act, or they wait till...
No, they wait till intermission.
Whoa! Like, was there a pause for the makeup? On,
like, no, okay.
Oh, wait, so the whole story.
It was like, usually when you go on, when you're being put into green makeup, it takes about 20, 25 minutes. And they literally slap you on a green paint with paintbrushes. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But when you are going in quickly, it took, I think, 6 minutes. So way less detail, more like just
no
as long as you're as long as you're green.
Do they buy time? How do they do that? Or like
so the
I guess it depends on what's wrong.
Right. Who was playing it was sick and her stomach was hurting and so she knew that she had to leave stage to throw up. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, all right, I'll last as long as I like physically can. poor thing. She was such a trooper, badass. But it got to the point where it was popular. And she was, you know, she's sitting on a bed during popular. So she's just sort of like,
she's already green. So you can't already quite tell. Yeah, exactly.
And I got a stage manager call to it was like, Lily Cooper, please report to the Elphaba dressing room. And I ran downstairs and I knew that she wasn't really feeling well. So I was
like mentally preparing.
I was like mentally preparing just in case that were to happen. And I warmed up vocally. So I ran down to the dressing room. It took seven minutes to get into costume and makeup, and I was sitting in the wing putting my shoes on and like finishing getting my costume on as she was still on stage, and like we made eye contact when she was on stage, and she was like, it was like very gracious, like she wanted to leave stage, and I was just there to take over, and we literally tag teamed, like we high fived as she walked off stage to change scenes,
and puke.
And I walked on stage in the Dancing Through Life scene.
What a cool
wow!
Yeah.
What is really the announcement like? Like, in case you didn't notice,
already. FYI.
It was after intermission, right before the second act started. It was, ladies and gentlemen, for the remainder of the performance, the role of Elphaba will be played by Lily Cooper, and it was just that. It wasn't like, you know.
That's amazing.
Because so-and-so is
because
puking.
So-and-so got sick.
Yeah.
I sweat a lot. So I would like sweat green makeup everywhere. There's green makeup everywhere all throughout the backstage of the Gershwin.
I'm sure.
But like all the collar of like every girl's dresses and like all over Fiero's face and hands. So I would put an incredible trick that one of the tour makeup artists taught me was putting deodorant on my face.
Like and before it actually you worked, the
like antiperspirant. Like a roll-on?
Yep. Putting antiperspirant on your face. And it's actually good. It's a good, like...
Primer,
sort of. So it made it easier to take it off.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And it helped to sort of, like, draw your sweat to the surface. So it would just sort of, like, lay on top of your makeup as opposed to dripping it off. So putting deodorant on your face before...
The little things you learn on tour.
Yeah, crazy, right?
The more you know.
But I would notice if I ever did it last minute, or if I got to the theater too late, or if I had to, like, you know, get into costume really quickly and I didn't put it on, I would totally notice the difference between putting makeup on with deodorant and without. It's so weird.
Well, that's weird.
Like staring at a deodorant stick, like,
I just be like,
all right, you're gonna go on my face.
I chose Tom's because I was like, oh, I guess it's organic. Why do you have it on my face? Yeah, I know, Dove.
Sure. I'm sure. Put it all over your face.
Should we play another game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool.
For plot points.
Okay.
So, in the Little Fox Measuring Cup, I have titles of songs from musicals. And then, what's this guy? Is he a koala?
He's a raccoon.
And in the Raccoon Measuring Cup, I have titles of musicals. You'll pick one from each, and then you'll try to explain the plot of the musical you picked to the tune of the song that you picked.
Ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Yellow-haired lawyer, a yellow-haired
lawyer.
That's incredible.
That's good.
Let's try next.
Yellow-haired lawyer. I mean, I'll try. I'm Cockney, but I don't know how to speak proper English.
It's My Fair Lady.
And I'm Cockney, but it's, yes, that's right.
Goodbye until tomorrow.
I
know that interval.
Amazing. Wow. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's incredible.
So
wow, Kevin.
You know when sometimes you like...
Yeah, you know the interval.
You just talk
more.
Like, I know
course,
what that is.
Course,
I heard that somewhere.
I love that.
Intervals by Heart, the Kevin Jagger story.
That's might be my memoir. I'm nice, so my boyfriend doesn't want me. So I'm gonna become a slut. Then he'll want me, and we'll all do the hand jive. Cause that
Grease.
I am happy now with me because I'm wearing leather pants and I'm dumb. I'm not smart now anymore.
I have confidence.
What a perfect combination.
I have
confidence. Exactly, because it's the whole point.
I have no confidence at all.
Yeah, changing her outside will totally change your personality.
This is a great message for young girls.
And then he'll love you.
Yeah.
All right. Ready? Yeah. Ready. There's a creepy man backstage.
Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. Phantom of the Opera.
I don't know.
There's a creepy guy backstage.
Is that not the plot?
I love that game. That was super fun.
Good one.
Yeah.
Lights of Broadway.
Lights of Broadway. Hey, Squigs.
This is Pick a Little, Talk a Little.
Okay.
Oh, we haven't played this in a while.
I know. I looked at our own website today to figure out what games to play. I was like, oh, what games have I played before? I was like, there is a back catalog that I can look at. So, I have a stack of Lights of Broadway show cards in my hand. We're going to go round robin around the table.
Okay.
And you're going to, each person gets one card. They're going to look at it. You can either use one word to give the whole table a clue.
Okay.
Or you can hum something, if that is easier.
Great.
And everyone who is not giving a hint is guessing. If you guess correctly, you take that card from the person giving the hint.
Mm-hmm. And hold on to it.
And then that person will pass the pile to the next person.
Okay.
Great.
Got it.
So, the person with the most cards that they've guessed correctly wins.
How many times do we go around?
I'm going to set the timer for 2 minutes.
Oh.
Amazing.
So, it is now set for 2 minutes. Brian, start.
Great. Comet.
Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. Rachel Chavkin.
Yes.
For real?
Yeah.
Amazing. What is this?
So then you get the first one. These are Liza Broadway trading cards.
Have you not seen these?
Oh, no. And we'll talk about them in a second. Okay, so one word to get us to guess. Or a hum.
Murder.
Sweeney Todd.
Gentleman's Guide.
No, it's the guy who's in How to Get...
Bryce Pinkham.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Good one.
Wow, yeah, I have not seen these. These are so cool.
Dance.
Posse.
Michael Bennett.
Jerome Robbins.
More contemporary.
Contact.
Warren Carlyle.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Xanadu.
Carrie Butler.
Warner.
Brothers.
Oh, it's
Warner? Legally Blonde.
He was in Bronx Tale, too.
Carrie.
Oh, Richard Blake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elsa.
It's Betsy Wolf.
Betsy Wolf. I think Kevin got that one. Kevin.
I get it.
I heard Kevin.
I get Betsy.
Sugar Butter Flowers. Sarah Bareilles. Jesse Mueller. Jesse Mueller. Kiel Estado.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Good one.
Wow. Wait, can we play him for 2 more minutes?
Yeah.
Yes. who has, how many do you have?
I really like this.
Don't even count.
Won.
Don't even count.
Okay, but I just like this game. Talk about intervals.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Holiday.
Corner Blue.
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow, you
guys. I don't think 2 men have ever yelled Corbin Blue at the same time.
Roxy.
Heart.
Glenn Vernon.
Yes.
Ooh, classy. Midtown.
Stage Door Canteen.
Oh, Times Square. Yes.
Oh, I thought I had it.
No, it's my fancy Times Square foil card.
It's a foil card?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Producers.
Matthew Broderick.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, I like his card a lot.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Tunnel.
Lincoln.
In Transit. Holland. Holland Taylor.
Holland. Oh,
wow.
Kevin. Wow. Unbelievable.
That was good.
Dreamgirls.
Jennifer Holliday.
Damn it. You're going to win.
We just know who has cards, I think. You'll have to start collecting and study
up. Lafayette.
David Diggs.
Well, it didn't ding, but it's over. And how fittingly that I got the Light Catchers card.
Oh, the next one.
Oh, that was fun. I only got one.
I got four.
Ooh, this is cute. Rachel, you look gorgeous.
I got five as well.
How recent is this thing? Autumn 2016.
Yeah, they have different
seasons.
That's
the newest one, yeah.
Yeah. To break the tie, I'm going to give you each a card, and you're going to need to pitch me the perfect vehicle for this person.
Perfect.
Wow.
Are you actually picking this, or is it...
You know what?
Sure.
I'll give Lily, we'll pretend she got five so she can play too.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll judge.
Yeah.
The perfect vehicle. Like, a show that would make their career.
Or like a Corvette.
I know. I really think that she would be in a horse-drawn carriage.
But with an albino horse.
Oh, that's like... That's like
wearing feathers.
The perfect date is April 25th?
3rd.
23rd. It's oh. Congeniality. Of course. What would be the perfect date?
Okay.
I'd have to say April 23rd.
Do you want... Pick a number.
All you need is like...
2.
5.
Between 1 and 3, I'm sorry.
2.
1.
1. 2. 3.
3. Okay. Now I want the perfect vehicle for this person.
Oh, wow. What a great... Aw, I want a...
Like that can actually picture. Be put up. Like
from a show that exists from past to present.
You could surprise me and do something that you think an adaptation would work
really
well.
You could write a whole show right now for them.
Or if you think a perfect pre-existing show will work for them, then yeah, I want to see it.
Well, Kevin Chamberlain is clearly going to bring the animated movie Horton, who's Here's a Who, to be the sequel of Seussical. Yeah, so the sequel of Seussical. Horton will be the narrator, a la The Cat in the Hat.
Okay.
And he will take you through some different Seuss things.
Great.
It'll still be Aaron's and Flaherty.
Great.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Who
do you have?
I have David Diggs.
Okay.
If they did a revival of The Boy from Oz.
Oh, whoa!
With David Diggs. If you take that idea and play it that way, I think... You could bring on a couple new levels if you modernize that a little bit.
Wow,
and, like,
crazy.
Did it that way.
Huh. Cool.
Lily?
I believe that Stephanie J. Block will be the perfect star of the musical adaptation of Death Becomes Her.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa. She dropped the card. You win. That's a... I want
thank
to
you 100%. So much.
Would you like the prize, Craig?
Get it.
The... Oh, hell yeah.
I really think that Death Becomes Her would be the phenomenal
are
musical.
You kidding? Like, how did it happen? And like Stephanie J. Block, the comedy, the beauty. She's perfect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, why hasn't that happened?
Who plays the older woman? Like the Isabella Rossellini part.
Standby of Broadway's.
Oh, Donna Murphy!
It's come full circle.
So does Stephanie J. Block plays the Meryl Streep part?
Of course. Yes.
Who plays the Goldie Hawn part, and who plays the Bruce Willis part?
Oh, wow. Who plays the Goldie Hawn
part? Now we're casting this full thing.
Next, who plays the Goldie Hawn part next to Stephanie Block?
Right.
Do you do Megan Hilty and have an
Annalee
Ashford revival?
Annalee's good.
Oh, yeah.
Annalee's good.
Annalee is a good choice.
That's a good one. Brandon Victor Dixon.
I don't have to be really excited about it.
He would be really good.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, I love him. I'm thinking of like this sort of like comedy nuances of...
But I think it almost seems to be like...
He's a dork. Like,
right.
Brandon's not a dork.
Yeah, it needs to be a little bit more dorky. I think you're right. Denny Burstein would be excellent.
I think I don't know this movie well enough.
That would be really interesting.
That would be really interesting.
Danny's funny.
I love that. Oh, I really want to see this musical now.
Let's start it.
Kevin, you and me, writing Death Becomes Her the musical.
Death Becomes Her the musical.
No one steal this idea.
And just cast the whole thing for you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lily.
I had a blast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
this was awesome.
Any parting words that you'd like to leave?
Tip your bartenders.
Yeah.
Great.
No, this was awesome. I had such a fun time.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think so. Go
and where can we see
it.
You right
oh,
now?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm in this new play, Sundown Yellow Moon. It's really beautiful. There's music in it. I actually had to learn the guitar for this play.
Oh, wow.
Which is Cuckoo Bananas. And it's so good.
And
the actors are incredible.
Nova.
It's through Ars Nova and the Women's Project. And it's at the Women's Project Theater, which is on 76th and Broadway.
Great.
Yeah, and it's great. And we start previews February 28th, and we run through April 1st as of now with a potential extension. But you can buy tickets on the Ars Nova website or the Women's Project website.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we end every episode with a quote.
Great.
Before we do that, you can follow Lily at Lily Cooper on Twitter and Lil Koobs.
Lil Koobs with a Z.
On Instagram.
And my website's lilycooper.com.
Check her out there. And you and oh my gosh, my brain.
Hi, Brian.
My brain is scrambled eggs.
Hi,
almost
Brian.
There. Almost there.
Scrambled so eggs.
So the quote tonight is F is for friends who do things together. U is for you and me. N is for anywhere or anytime at all, down here in the deep blue sea.
Oh, I love that.
I love SpongeBob so much.
Anytime it's on TV, I will watch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be like, it's research. I'm doing my job.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm ready.
Yeah, I don't use that reason. I'm like, I love the show.
Yeah.
I'm 32 years old. Yeah, yeah.
The Krusty Krab pizza is the pizza for you and me. So we end every episode with our favorite musical cadence.
Sure, Brian.
Favorite.
Zoot doo wop bop. Cheers. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah.
Woo! The Krusty Krab pizza.
My best friend growing pizza up.
For you and me.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.